It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sozi!
No, that's Matthew Sozi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sozi.
And now it's time for What is Kobe Watching?
What is Kobe Watching?
Greetings, film lovers. If you're a fan of film sociology, you won't want to miss this. It's the best of What is Kobe Watching? With such favorites as...
It's 2 hours of me being freaked out. I'm not trying to have that.
And...
Things are different in the 70s. That's all there is to it. Good, bad, or indifferent. Things are different.
And who could forget?
I wish that Pam Grier would show up to my house and wreck my house in that blue outfit.
It's the best of What is Kobe Watching?
You don't know people.
I don't know people or dog breeds or cheeses. It's fine.
We love you,
Relive all your favorite moments like...
I didn't see that. I just know that it happened.
And...
The film industry is going to be booming this year because I've started seeing movies.
And we all remember where we were when we heard...
Because of What's That? That is not mean. In no way, shape, or form is that a gateway for you to give me more freaky stuff.
All of these and so many more classic moments like...
Working the board, Kobe Slagle.
Hello, hello. I ate a bunch of fudge.
Fudge?
Fudge, peanut butter fudge.
Can be yours today.
I will single-handedly keep the arts alive
with your
patronage.
Bravo there, Kobe Slagle. I guess we're going to get a What is Kobe Watching of some sort, although it is not the Film Yap edition because he didn't watch any of the Film Yap movies.
Boo.
Boo. anyway, I am not Kobe. I am not Matthew Sozi. I'm Joe Scheer with the Film Yap. Along with me for the ride today is Gina Wagner from Haunted Flower.
Hello. Also from IndieMojo.com.
She is from IndieMojo.com. Along with her hetero life mate, Dan.
Hi, Dan. Dan's waving.
And for the purposes of this discussion, he will be silent Dan since he doesn't have a microphone.
Oh.
So there goes our clerks and Jay and Silent Bob reference for the week.
Hang on a second. Gina has her own intro here.
We are Sex the Bomb! 1, 2, 3, 4! We are Sex the Bomb! 1, 2, 3, 4!
We are Sex the Bomb, and we're here to make you think about and get sad and stuff.
We are Sex Bomb. We are here to make money and sell out and stuff.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Kim.
We are Sex Bomb, and we are here to watch Scott Pilgrim kick your teeth in. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Especially Matthew Sozi. I'm going to be putting down my Xbox and my energy drinks to review a mature movie.
Gina Wagner.
I feel ready to go back to Gen Con after this now.
Wow.
Going back to Gen Con after the show.
Welcome to and we didn't make the proper introduction. Haunted Film Yependent Critic Radio this week.
Oh.
Tongue twister.
Which leads me to the last third of our triumvirate, which would be Richard Probst, the independent critic.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, how are you, Gina?
I'm well. How are you?
Independentcritic.com loves you.
Yay!
And we got, a couple of movies to talk about this week. Between the three of us, we've seen them all.
Are they really movies?
Are they?
It's your interpretation.
Yeah, they were shot with the intent of being
someone
put up
used
on
a camera.
There were people doing something approximating acting.
And we did go and watch it. And movies are two parts, you know? They show you a movie, we watch the movie.
Yep. And we're going to start out by talking about, I think, arguably the big release of the week, I think, which one of us have seen, Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Woo!
And this is not a prequel, or is it? It's something of a reboot is what I understand.
What?
Well, it is a prequel to the original film.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but not the Tim Burton version.
No. This is basically they're showing you where the apes got smart.
Okay. So I think we might have some audio for that. Let you guys know.
You betcha. Here we go.
We're talking about huge potential for millions of people. Our therapy enables the brain to repair itself. We call it the cure.
I want you to start testing on chimps ASAP.
We test one subject. I want to make sure it's stable. I designed the 112 for repair, but Caesar's gone way beyond that.
You mean increased intelligence?
The skills that far exceed that of a human counterpart.
This is wrong, Will.
It works.
And what about Caesar? Where does he fit in?
That chimp's company property.
He hasn't spent any time with other chimps.
They're not people, you know.
Are you trying to control things that are not meant to be controlled?
They are contaminated. Put those apes down.
You have no idea what you're dealing with.
That sound all awkwardly titled for us all?
A little bit, yeah.
Dan actually pointed out while we were all listening that the sequel to this movie could be Revenge of the Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Machines.
we were also throwing in some Terminator in there, so there's a little mashup. Anyway, Gina has seen this movie. Gina, how was this?
Well, first, let me say I have honestly never seen a Planet of the Apes movie before.
Me too.
Yeah. Okay.
Imagine that.
But wow. What's great about this is I saw it and I loved it.
Really?
So now I want to watch the other ones.
Yeah.
So this was really great. It was directed by Rupert Wyatt and it stars James Franco as a scientist trying to come up with a wonder drug that would cure Alzheimer's. And his father, played by John Lithgow, has the disease. He's been working on it for years and he's testing it on chimps. And there is one successful chimp that comes out of the project, Caesar. And Caesar is acted by Andy Serkis in the way that he did Kong. So
Gollum also, right?
Yes, and yeah. Gollum. So he uses his vast primate acting experience once more to be the emotions behind the minds.
He's the go-to CG ape. Yeah.
If you need a CG ape in your movie, you know who to call. And he may or may not have lines. also in this movie is Frida Pinto, the girlfriend from Slumdog Millionaire. Uh-huh. I haven't seen her in a long time, and she is gorgeous and awesome.
Uh-huh.
Draco Malfoy is in this.
Okay. What?
Yeah, Tom Felton, who will henceforth be called Draco Malfoy. Yeah, because, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry, if you've acted that role most of your life, that's who you are now.
Isn't he a bad guy in this one, too?
Yeah, he's just a bully. He's typecast as a bully. In this one, he's, like, tasing apes because he's in a bad mood.
What?
Yeah, he's like, ha, ape, I'm smarter than you, and I've got all the cookies. Psh, tase.
Didn't they do that? He stole that from the zookeeper.
Maybe.
Yeah. Are we ripping off Zookeeper now? Is that what we've come to? Man. So did we answer this question definitively? This is attached to the original, or is this attached? This is not
attached
to Tim Burton.
This is a prequel to the original story. I don't know if it's specifically one movie versus the other as far as the remake goes, but this is what happened before. This shows you how the monkeys got smart. You could see the first smart chimp what happens, how other ones get smart, mm-hmm. and the first steps. And this takes place in San Francisco, which is different than where the other movies take place. Yeah. So
spoiler
alert. I think that's the only plot hole is, like, how do they get from one to another?
Yeah, the movie is ruined for me now.
Yeah, you can't watch the original. Charlton Heston sitting on the beach is pounding on the sand. You damn dirty apes. Pounding away
Someone
at the sand.
Someone gets to say that line in this movie.
Oh, I would have been disappointed had they not.
Oh, I won't tell you who.
Do they wink at the camera when they say it?
Is it Draco?
No. Spoiler, Kobe. Oh, but I loved it. I loved the story. I loved the relationships between the characters. So at some points, it felt a little slow, but the buildup was really, really great. Watching him sort things out in his mind as the chimp was deciding what he wanted to do once the humans were starting to fail him a little bit in what he wanted. So I just really loved it, and I highly recommend it for anyone who likes sci-fi movies. Yeah.
Chris actually said in his review, he did see it this week, but is on assignment, unavailable to be here. He called it the movie of the summer. Would you agree with that assessment?
Oh, it's in my top 10 for sure.
Cool, all right.
Of the year, I think.
Excellent.
Yeah, and
he
loved it.
He also noted the irony of us waiting till the end of the summer season before we got the movie of the summer.
Well, maybe it wanted to be compared to all the movies. Let all the other movies go first and then go, bam, knock them down.
That's right. I'm in.
Be like, I will school you, movies.
Wow.
Other movies recognize. And James Franco didn't even have to lose a hand or anything for this movie to be good.
Man.
Oh, I went there.
Did he get beat up by an emo boy with superpowers and
no.
turn into a bad guy?
No.
Fly a giant
no.
snowboard?
No. No. No.
No. He didn't wear a paintball mask in this?
No! He's a scientist. He's supposed to be smart.
Man. All right. All right. Well, what did we think of this, Kobe? All right, now we've got all that yucky positivity out of the way. Let's get to the real fun.
Let's
I
get
love
real.
The positivity, but let's just totally dump on something now.
Yeah, let's preface this a little bit by saying last week when Ed Johnson Ott was on with Chris and I, we had a nice talk about The Change Up, which he had already seen, and we had not. And he absolutely thrashed it. And
off air, though, I think.
Yeah, it was off air. It was not on the air because he knew he didn't want to steal our thunder this week. So the three of us have all seen this movie now, The Change Up. And we are going to tell you what we thought about it in relation to what Ed thought about it. So this movie does star Ryan Reynolds. It stars Jason Bateman, the wonderful Leslie Mann, who I really love, and Olivia Wilde, among others. It is a body switching movie.
No,
it's
without
not
Zac Efron.
It's not it's not a baseball movie.
Oh,
it is a body switching movie about a married man who has kids and is responsible, and he swaps bodies.
This
with,
all sounds so wildly fresh.
Oh, it is. It is wacky, and it is new, and it is fresh.
We are ready to bring on the thunder.
Absolutely. So before we do that, let's have a little listen.
It's your turn.
Oh, no.
So what am I tonight? A burglar?
Oh, hello.
How you like me now?
Oh, what's up?
Tell me about your women.
I have been keeping company with a number of nice ladies.
What is her name?
That is Tatiana.
Wow.
I have to make her cry first,
She's
but
gorgeous.
It's worth it. Yeah, this right here is Brenda. Ooh. She wants it in wheelbarrow, Arabian goggles, yeah. The Arsenio Hall, the pastrami sandwich.
Well, I don't even know what these are.
You're married.
Good point. You're living the dream, Mitch. Having children, it's living with little mini drug addicts. You know, they're laughing one minute, and then they're crying the next, and then they're trying to kill themselves in your bathroom for no good reason. They're very mean and selfish, and they burn through your money, and they break...
Guy, come on.
You know, I was just saying that I envy your life, Mitch.
I envy yours.
I wish I had your life.
Mitch? Why am I in your apartment?
Open the door! I knew it. You wished for my life while we were pissing in that fountain.
We wished we had each other's lives.
I was just trying to be nice.
Oh, my God!
But if
first time in your life, you're good looking, you're single. What's going on between us? It's crazy, but what's even more crazy is not to use it.
Have we met?
Hold on, you two guys should go out.
Wait, what?
How do you like working with Dave?
I actually used to have kind of a crush on Dave.
You didn't.
No, but he's married, so obviously.
Right, obviously. Obviously. Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah.
Super married.
What do I tell Jamie when she wants to have sex tonight?
You're not having sex with my wife, Mitch.
She comes at me like a hurricane. A guy can only withstand so much. I am gonna ruin her. Oh my god.
I need to cool it on the Thai food.
Oh my god. No, 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 no. Don't back that thing up into me. Can't believe you'd come at me guns hot.
All right, there you go, the change-up.
That was as entertaining as it gets.
Yeah,
right there.
And for...
Those were the jokes, everybody.
For...
Did you like them? There's a poop joke.
No, yep, there's
it's
a couple
a great
of them.
Visual.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't work on the radio so much, but...
we can make it work.
Except for the sound
Imagine,
effects.
Use your mind.
Yeah. let's say for a comedy... Someone went awfully crazy on the CG for this movie. What
yes,
is up
they
with
did.
That? We have CGI babies pooping, CGI babies throwing knives. We have
a baby hitting his head into the crib repeatedly.
Yes, in CG.
In more than one scene.
We have, and now, and.
There's more CG in this than the Smurfs.
There is more CG in this than the Smurfs.
Slightly more effective.
Yeah. And worst of all. I'm speechless. I can't even say it. Worst of all to me, CGI boobies. Absolutely horrible.
Joe's personally offended by the lack of real actress boobs.
Well,
in this movie.
if you're gonna do it, let's just do it. Let's not CG it all up.
The problem was she wasn't going to do it.
Yeah. Exactly. So just don't do it. It's just very strange. Number one, that they have to employ CG at all in a comedy of this sort, much less the amount that they did. Not that it made the jokes any funnier.
If you haven't guessed by now, this movie was rated a hard R.
Very hard R. Yes.
If you
like
take
smack
your kids
him in the face
this,
with
you,
this R.
Yeah, I'm calling. Yeah,
yeah.
And there was a baby crying during our movie.
There were. There,
I wanted
to
slap her with
I
a hard R.
I wanted to call CPS.
Yeah, there was a family right when I walked in the theater, and the rep. They had like three children with them, and the rep stopped them and said, you really should think about not bringing your kids to this because there is very bad stuff going on in this movie. And their answer was, oh, that's okay. They watch Chucky all the time.
What?
And I was like, I don't know. And this is bad news. This is not a kid-friendly movie. Ryan Reynolds says things.
This is really not an audience-friendly movie.
Not at all. Not at all.
5 minutes in, me and Dan were ready to walk out.
Yeah, but you couldn't because, you know,
no.
You got a job to do.
Well, there's poop in this movie that Dan described as a super soaker poop.
Yeah. And
that's
and,
how special it was.
And wow. there were things quivering and things winking, and it was very disgusting. And it was very bad. And not even disgusting in a good way.
No.
It was not a fun disgusting. It was a horrifically bad.
It didn't remind
false
you
disgusting.
Of the early days with your own children?
No, it is not like this. This is what I said. The first thing I said when we were done, I said to someone was, I have been pooped on and peed on and thrown up on. that's what this qualifies as. And it was thrown up on.
The kid thrown up on me.
All sorts of ways. Never was it anything like that. But let me tell you, because it was not like that in the movie, it was not funny at all. If it had been more realistic, it would have been hilarious because, you know, getting pooped on is hilarious. And I know I've been pooped on.
It felt to me almost like it was exploiting the children. I mean, yeah. It got to such an extreme.
Yeah.
I mean, you had one scene where, you know, you had this baby throwing this butcher knife.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I compared it to, like, those Looney Tune cartoons where you've got, like, a big protective dog and the cute little kitten, and then they're wandering through a construction site, and he's like, running around trying to save the kitten. It's like that, but with babies in a kitchen and sharp objects everywhere. It's
everywhere.
Just a big cartoon, and it's horrible.
Yeah. And it completely does not fit with the rest of the film. Which is a more grown-up tone, more grown-up sensibility. Mm-hmm. There are some mature themes as far as marriage and, you know, marital problems and, you know, responsibility versus kind of being free and footloose and all that. And I was saying before that it kind of covers the marriage stuff. It kind of handles pretty well sometimes, mm-hmm. But it just has a couple of cartoons in it that just ruins everything.
You can see why these folks signed on for the film.
Yeah.
It has a glimpse of this could have been a really good film.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't get there.
Yeah.
And it's directed by David Dobkin, who did Wedding Crashers. So.
And Fred Claus.
Yeah. There's a downside to everybody.
And honestly, the way they establish the characters in the beginning, you've got Jason Bateman being his character, Ryan Reynolds being his character, and then the switch happens like pretty fast, and we've spent so little time with these cartoons that when they switch, you don't even get a feel for these characters, and then they're trying to be each other. It's just mess.
And your characterization, cartoons, is very apt, especially for Ryan Reynolds.
His
character was a total cartoon. He could not stop dropping F-bombs no matter what situation he was in. Mm-hmm. He was completely unable to do that.
It's like his catchphrase.
Yeah, he had no sort of social abilities whatsoever. And, you know, it was just troubling. You know, he didn't feel like a real person. He felt like a joke.
Yeah.
And Jason Bateman's character was so straight-laced, and he felt more grounded in reality. But the two of them playing off of each other didn't work. Not to mention that he was all over Jason Bateman's wife's character. I mean, literally, like, smacking her butt and things like
that. To the point
that
it was awkwardly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It was gross.
It's the kind of thing that if your buddy's doing that, you're like, dude, I'm going to punch you if you do that again. And he was just like, whatever, you know. And here's this, you know, really good-looking guy. I mean, absolutely all but pawing on his wife. And he's just like, whatever. And then when they switch bodies, there's, as they played in the trailer, there's that that little bit of, well, what happens when, you know, we're there at night and, you know, we're in bed. What am I supposed to do then? And her, what she does in response is what you heard, of course. And it totally, like, he lost complete interest. Just, it's like, what women poop?
He found out women poop.
Wow.
And it ruined his world.
Yeah. And it did. It crushed him. And he said to her, I no longer find you attractive. And it's like, that's a horrible thing to say to any woman, number one, whether she's actually your wife or not. But, wow. How do you say
heavy.
That's it.
And, you know, that's like divorce papers slapped in your face if you say that.
And there were a lot of lines like that. I mean, there were times when the film was trying so hard to be offensive, you know. One of my observations was that it seemed like there was a one-liner against almost every ethnic group, every population type.
Yeah.
And it would frequently not fit with the story at all.
Yeah.
It was like, let's just be offensive. Let's offend this group this time. It was
completely
unforgivable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was almost rapid fire too. It seemed like it would, you know, they'd be going along about, you know, the business aspect of Jason Bateman's character, and then all of a sudden there's a Jew joke thrown in, and there's, you know, they're like just dropping stuff in. At one point, Ryan Reynolds' character uses a slur against Japanese people, and you're like, where did that come from?
Exactly.
Why? What? And it's just crazy and ridiculous, and it's just not fun. You know, some movies are spectacularly bad. This one was not that way. It was
and that
just bad.
Doesn't even cover the idiocy of the magic in this one. We didn't even use a magical janitor.
Yeah.
We took the worst aspect from the movie When in Rome last year and took it up a notch, making it worse.
Yeah. And they switched by peeing in a fountain and wishing at the same time for each other's lives.
Yep. Can't throw a coin in the fountain. We've got to pee in the fountain.
Yeah. So they're ripping. Yeah. Apparently peeing now has replaced tossing a nickel in there.
And in front of
peeing
children.
Peeing is magical, everyone.
Yeah.
In front of children.
Yep.
That's
a
beautiful thing.
And then so they do the big thing after that, as in the movie Big, where they go back the very next morning to switch their bodies back, and this massive stone fountain is suddenly gone.
And no one can find it.
Yeah,
Where did the fountain go? I lost it.
It takes them 6 weeks
to track
it. It was
in my pocket and I dropped it somewhere.
Yeah. This is not the Zoltar machine. This is a giant 2-3 ton fountain, you know, with a statue on top of it.
Oh, what makes it worse is they can't find it. And one of them is supposed to be a smart guy. He's supposed to be a lawyer, and he spends all his time rollerblading and not looking for the fountain.
Yeah. So Olivia Wilde is in this also. She plays the paralegal?
The hotness.
Yeah, she's the hotness that works for Jason Bateman. Jason Bateman has a crush on her, but of course he's a married, nice guy. He doesn't do that kind of thing. And then he switches body with Ryan Reynolds, and he is not really cheating if it's somebody else's body, right? So that's the kind
not
of his big
anatomy.
Yeah, it's his big arc. All of a sudden, he's hedging on whether they should switch back, and it's just it's ridiculous and it's dumb.
I'm going to save that.
Save that one. can we tell everyone what we really thought about that one now?
Yep.
No! No, 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 no! No! No, 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 no! No!
All right. I think it's time to take a break. We'll go jump in the car, head to the video store, open that sucker up when we get back.
All right. Here we go. Break time.
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
All right, we're open. Come on in. It's kind of a light week for video releases, too. We'll start off with an animated feature. I believe this is DreamWorks, right?
Yep.
It's called Rio. It's got stars Jesse Eisenberg as a bird who gets lost or something.
He can't fly.
Yeah, that's right. He's domesticated and can't fly. He meets a crazy free-spirited bird played by Anne Hathaway who can fly. And
what a combination.
To fly. Yeah, it's
strange. They are opposites. I wonder if they'll get along.
Yeah, what do you think? I bet hijinks will ensue.
Oh.
All right, let's have a listen.
Good morning, Blue.
Your macaw is a very special bird.
Woo!
In fact, Blue is the last male of his kind.
I have a kind?
The only other Blue macaw is in Rio de Janeiro.
Brazil?
Rio, Rio. No! Don't worry, I'm gonna make Blue look irresistible.
She's beautiful. She's like an angel.
Okay, I had nothing to do with that. But
you have to admit, it's actually a pretty good song.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Lionel Richie works every time.
From the creators of Ice Age.
Hi there.
The last Blue macaws on Earth. These are worth a fortune.
This spring.
What are you doing?
Getting out of here.
I can't.
What? You can't what?
Oh, I can't fly!
Is there anything else I need to know?
Yes, I can't fly, I pick my beak, and once in a while I pee in the birdbath.
Awkward.
Anne Hathaway.
Is that a spider on my back?
It's just a leaf. Turn around. Leaf. Told ya.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Bobo here can't fly.
Maybe we can find a bus schedule or something.
George Lopez.
Flying is not what you think up here. It's what you feel in here.
Tracy Morgan.
I got you's good.
Jermaine Clement.
Everybody loves the parade.
Leslie Mann.
Squawk, squawkity, squawk, squawk. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to curse.
Will.i.am and Jamie
Jamie Foxx.
I saw this big Pikachu with big ninja talents. And then he was like,
coming with me, you little princess.
And I was like, whoosh, whoosh. I ain't your princess, leave me alone.
Rio.
Oh, we're gonna die!
You did not feel it in here.
You think?
Let's get something out of the way real fast. Rio is not the bird's name. Okay, Rio refers to where they're going.
Thank you for clarifying that, Joe. No one ever would have gotten that from
bird?
The trailer.
The bird's name is Blue.
Very good.
Yes, because he's red. No.
Oh, no.
Because
not.
He's blue. He's a macaw and he's blue. So naturally, they could not name the movie Blue. Because it would be confused with something else. It would be confused with the Red Trilogy, or it would be confused with... I don't know. Somebody would confuse
You're
something.
You're not making
you
sense,
just gotta
Joe.
Stop,
That's
Joe.
Okay.
Learn to let
so
go.
So it's Rio. Okay. It's Rio, and it's fun, and that's about all I remember about
Rio.
This movie.
It's Rio. It's Carnival. It's let's stop every 5 minutes and sing because we're birds, and we like samba, and because Will.i.am and Jamie Foxx are in our cast, so we must let them sing.
And
not like that.
And George Lopez, who I've kind of hammered on quite a bit in Smurfs for being the generic, horrible voice actor that he is. Unfunny as can be.
Why should voice acting be different from acting for him?
It's not.
Thank you. Yes.
Like I said, that's about all I remember about this movie. I saw it when it came out in theaters back in, I think, January or February.
Oh, Tracy Morgan's an idiot dog. It doesn't add to the film.
Yeah, not really. I like Tracy Morgan a lot in 30 Rock. This movie's not so much, but yeah.
I remember it being very visually beautiful. I loved looking at the film. I loved some of the vocal work. I enjoyed moments of it. I also was sitting here all day trying to remember one of the songs from the film, and I can't.
Yeah.
Well, if you get the Blu-ray, DVD, digital copy like I got sent, then you will not be able to get any of the songs out of your head because so many of the features have the songs over and over and over again. So I very thoroughly know the I Wanna Party, I Wanna Samba, that song. You can watch every music video from the film. You can watch All About Rio. It can be kind of educational for the kids. You can watch a whole feature on actual Carnival, showing the videos and finding out about the director's background, where he was from, why he wanted to make the movie about it, et cetera, et cetera. And talking to the voice actors, even ones like Jane Lynch, who were in like kind of a minute of the movie.
Well, that's nice. Jane Lynch brightens up everything she's in.
Absolutely. Everything is better if Jane Lynch is in it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I thought Eisenberg did okay with it.
Yeah, I mean
he actually showed some emotion for a change.
Yeah, the leads were okay. It was just kind of, you know, it was mildly diverting. It was just not particularly
great. Your kids will
great.
Like it. Your parents won't hate it.
Yeah, until the fifth or sixth or seventh time you're watching it. Then you'll be like, really, again? Okay, let's watch it. and then you'll be crying at the end when all the great stuff happens. That's never happened to me, by the way. There was the peeing in the bird bath. Man, this is the change up. And let's also point out Leslie Mann was in this movie also.
Exactly.
This movie is just the change up.
She's the nerdy woman that owns Blue.
Yeah. Wow. That's your fault, Richard. All right, what the heck do we think about this one?
I don't have one that's kind of like, eh.
It's I.
Let's go with Chris Lloyd's It's Not Hella Bad.
Okay. Yeah, it's not hella bad.
There we are.
All right. So we go from birds to sharks, kind of. Well, briefly. It's a movie called Soul Surfer about what's the girl's name? The real girl, Bethany Hamilton.
Yes, Bethany Hamilton.
She's a surfer. She's a teenager. She's cool. She's religious.
How appropriate that this came out during Shark Week.
Yeah, and she gets her arm bitten off by a shark. This is a true story.
That is not a spoiler.
No, that's
it
not
is a truth story.
Considering
the whole point of having a movie about her.
Yeah, if she didn't get her arm bitten off by a shark, we're not watching the movie about her. So, well, we got some audio. We got something to listen to.
Yep. Right, yes, we have something to listen to.
If you get tired waiting for the waves out there, just come and kick it with us. We don't have to wait for the action.
Well, when you get tired of the pipe, come surf some real waves.
Bethany Hamilton is holding nothing back.
Looks like she has a real future. And with her heart, her will, she'll go far.
Thursday night's a full moon. We're all going to go surfing.
Sorry, Mom. I really wanted to go night surfing. Would you have let me go?
No. I don't know.
Can you believe we get to come out here every day?
Call 911.
Teenage girl from the North Shore. Shark attack.
Traumatic amputation.
She's going into hypovolemic shock.
The things that you're going to have to learn to do differently is extensive.
I can't do this anymore.
So what do we do now?
We'll take it day by day.
I don't understand. I don't know why terrible things happen to us sometimes. But I have to believe that something good is going to come out of this.
What's all this stuff?
A little fan mail. We sorted it out by country.
There's an eighth grader from North Carolina who lost his arm. He's going to try out for a school soccer team because of me. And he's rooting for me in my next competition. Hey, Dad. I need your help.
It's not going to be easy.
I don't need easy. I just need possible.
The greatest surfers, they know when the best waves are coming. You feel it. You have that gift, too.
When you come back from a loss, when you beat the odds and never say never, you find a champion.
Well, thank you, Katy Perry, for that wonderful introduction. Katy Perry does not appear in this movie. Her music does appear in the trailer.
Carrie Underwood does.
Carrie Underwood does, to provide the singing talent, although she does not sing.
She does
not. She throws in...
She does evangelize a lot.
She evangelizes a bit, throws in maybe, kind of maybe a little bit of guilt Bethany's way.
This movie does hit you with wave after wave after wave of faith mm-hmm. and Beach Church.
Yeah.
Just putting
There's
it out
only
there.
One wave of Beach Church.
It's there.
There's lots of
she
waves.
She goes surfing,
though.
And then she's like, oh, no, I'm late for church. Better throw on my sundress and run over to the beach church.
Uh-huh.
Across
beach
the
church
sand.
In Hawaii, that's how they do it. They run
Rocking
to beach
it.
Church.
You've yeah. never been to beach church, have you?
No, I haven't.
You wouldn't make fun of beach
shouldn't
church.
Be dissing beach
yeah.
church.
If you'd been have. There, you would not be exactly. making fun of it, I assure you.
I would be too distracted. I'd be off making sandcastles somewhere.
All right, so anyway, this young lady, played by Anna Sophia Robb, is a surfer. She's cool. She's going to be a star. And then she doesn't go on her mission trip to Africa or whatever. Was it Africa that time around?
I don't remember what it was.
Anyway, she doesn't go to her mission trip. Instead, she has to train because she just got a sponsor. She's going to be rich and famous and a great surfer. And then she's out there surfing and a shark bites her arm off.
After a cut, two or three scenes where you think it's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. That's
Oh, so much baiting.
Yeah, like, no, that's where I got kind of annoyed because they tease it a little bit. This is not the kind of movie. This is not a horror movie. You know, this is a drama meant for kids. I had my
It's
kids.
Real life.
It is. It's real life based on a true story, inspirational and all that stuff. And they proceed to tease it. They have a couple of those underwater shots. Now, the big one to me that I really hated after the attack happens, you know, of course, everyone's panicking. They're dragging her along. We get a point of view shot from the shark, from underwater, rushing up quickly up to them as if the shark's going to attack again, and then nothing. And it just kind of cuts away. And I'm going,
that's a bad edit.
Yeah, it's a blatant attempt to throw a little scare in there, and it was just bad to me.
Did you get scared?
I was a little scared.
My son did. My son, oddly enough, didn't get scared so much by the shark scenes as the scenes when she fell off the board and was stuck underwater for a couple seconds. Mm. He was really freaking out. But anyway, she, you know, her arm's bitten off. She's kind of feels bad about herself. She can't tie her own shoes anymore. But she does learn to get back on the surfboard. And she kind of overcomes all the odds to become the surfer again. That's not a spoiler again.
And attracts fans.
And she attracts fans. She does have. And a rival who does not give her a break after she's lost her arm, which was kind of a neat touch, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Because, I like that.
Yeah, they play her as a jerk for kind of the first half of the movie because she kind of does a couple of borderline dirty things while they're surfing. But then later on,
she stole my wave.
Yeah, and then later on, she doesn't. Now I learned from Point Break, if you do that, you get punched in the face.
You gotta call dibs on your waves. She should have spat on it or something.
This is, go back to the valley,
so
man.
They had to forgive.
Yeah. So the rival does not cut her a break. Which is very cool. It's kind of a neat little touch, and is really, I think, the kind of the point of the movie. That's how Bethany would have had it. You know, she wouldn't want her to give her a break, and I think she even mentions that, doesn't she?
Yes. They have a confrontation. Yeah. She thanks her.
Yeah. So who else is in this movie?
We've got Dennis Quaid and Helen Hunt as the parents, mm-hmm. the supportive mm-hmm. parents. I remember one of them is in the camp of don't push her to surf, and the other one's in the camp of push her to surf, give her something to live for, and then they bicker, you know.
Yeah, and then she does what she wants anyway.
Exactly.
Carrie Underwood is, again, the youth group leader or whatever of the church. Mm-hmm. She, you know, as musicians go, she's not a particularly great actor. Neither was she, I don't know, terribly
bad. She didn't really have to be in this.
Yeah.
I mean, this was, you know.
She had some lines to deliver.
Yeah, she
was
said
the youth
she
group
say.
Leader, and mm-hmm. you know
that's what they do.
She comes off as a friendly little yeah. youth group leader. Yeah. So, yeah.
All right.
Film sociology resident surfer Bianca Dreyer's here. B-Town, what'd you think of the movie?
Resident surfer in Indianapolis.
Yes,
she surfs Lake Monroe, the White River. It's okay.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You guys are kind of ragging on it, but I mean it's faith based, but I didn't think that. Faith like overplayed the film.
It wasn't.
Just
I would agree
like
with that.
Here yeah. and there, it wasn't overkill. Mm-hmm. But it's, I mean, it's, yeah, it's tough to surf with one arm. So
yeah.
it's, I don't know. For me, it was inspiring. I liked it.
Yeah. It there was nothing particularly terrible about it. I didn't think.
No. Okay. I do have to say the one line that made me really groan at the end was they asked her, "Oh, do you like?" They asked her something like, "Do you regret this happening to you?" And then they just leave it out there, and she's like, "Oh no, I'm glad that the shark came and bit off my arm because now I can embrace more people with one arm than I ever could with two." And then she looks towards the camera and smiles, and then there's a rainbow, and
she's exaggerating just a little
and Skittles
bit.
Fall from the sky.
I have to defend it a little bit as well, and I have been picking on it some, but I actually really enjoyed this film. I think the faith-based crowd will really like the film. I absolutely agree with your observation that it's not really a traditional faith-based film. Mm-hmm. It's about characters who have strong faith lives, and there's a huge difference there. I didn't really feel like this film was trying to be preachy. I think that it will appeal to a wider audience. For me, Helen Hunt gave one of her better performances in quite a while. That's not saying a whole heck of a lot. I realize that. It was a good, laid-back film. You know, I felt good when I left it. It was a lot better than I expected it to be.
Yeah.
So I think that families will really enjoy this film.
Mm. Yeah, and yeah, kids, it's a decent time for families. It's you know it's not going to have a horrible amount of violence or foul language. You mm-hmm. don't have to drag your kids into the change up. You can take them just I guess now rent this or get it from Netflix and have a decent night out.
Exactly.
I didn't love it. I didn't hate it as much as I expected to hate it. So
wasn't Phil Collins' daughter in it? Wasn't
was
she? Yeah, one of the singers okay. was like her best friend. I believe mm-hmm. it was like Phil Collins' daughter. Okay. I don't remember.
See, and now you know that should yeah. make you want to go rent it even more.
she broke out a rendition of "That's All" at the end of the movie. And they all danced.
On the beach? No way.
No,
that never happened.
No, I don't think that happened. Yeah, including the shark. The shark jumped out of the water.
That's jumping the shark.
And then peed in the ocean.
Yeah. Now that one's the change up too. Thanks, Richard. Every movie is the change up. All right. So we liked it. It was okay. It was fun.
I'm gonna play this guy here.
I need is that. That's pretty neat.
There you go. That's pretty neat.
All right. We have a couple of pet mini reviews to do. Richard wants to start off with The Music Never Stopped.
This was a film that we saw here in Indianapolis at the Keystone Arts Cinema, and I know it lasted for quite a while in the theater. It's a nice little father and son film, a small independent film, didn't really do much, but it's I don't know about you, but one of my favorite things about going to the old video stores, which are kind of dying out these days, was, mm-hmm. you know, scouring the shelves, looking for that little hidden independent jewel that I could discover and really love and really enjoy. And for me, this was that kind of film where, you know, I would probably look at it. I would read the storyline where you have, you know, this father who had his son leave home at 17. And, you know, they don't speak for 20 years. The son shows up in an emergency room. Ends up he has a benign brain tumor and has gotten amnesia. And J.K. Simmons is the father. You know, he's a very popular character actor. A lot of people know him as the father in the movie Juno.
Uh-huh. J. Jonah Jameson from the Spider-Man movies.
Exactly.
Thank you for smoking.
Exactly.
Thank you for smoking. He's awesome.
He's awesome. Yeah. I mean, he's been around for a long time, and this was one of the few times he's been given a chance to do a leading role. Mm-hmm. And I just think he did a really well. He did really well with it. The whole connection, if you like 70s music, you're going to love this film because it's all over the film. It's all throughout the film because that ends up being the one thing that triggers this young man's memories. Mm-hmm. And so he and his father has to learn to appreciate this music that he has always blamed for separating him from his son. And it's just, it's a really neat, simple story. It's very well acted. It has a lot of great emotion to it. The music is wonderful. This is one of my favorite films of the year. Even though I know it's somewhat flawed, I just really enjoyed it.
All right. My pet review, on the other hand, is a documentary, somewhat more lighthearted, perhaps. it's called Exporting Raymond. It is about, I believe his name is Phil Rosenthal, the man who created the show Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh.
And, of course, it's a gigantic hit here. Has went on for, 9 or 10 seasons, I think. Well, they decide that it's time to send this off to Russia, make a Russian version of Everybody Loves Raymond. And it's a comedy of errors. And it's a real, true-to-life comedy of errors because Russian humor does not work the same way that American humor works. And they get almost none of the jokes. So the movie is about him, about his angst at adapting his show when no one in the country that they're showing it thinks it's funny. So it's
kind of like the Smurfs.
Kind of like this, except that's actually really not funny.
Oh, okay.
So they do reveal that they have been doing this for quite some time. One of their bigger hits was a Russian version of Married with Children. They had a lot of shows. The Nanny was one of their big hits, and they show little clips from these shows, and it's very broad humor. It's slapstick kind of stuff. They don't get the subtle kind of day-to-day, you know, drudgery of life humor that is Everybody Loves Raymond. So he basically has to struggle with every aspect of it, from the costume designer who wants to make everyone look glamorous and made up, and he's trying to convince them, no, that's not how you would dress at home. And you know, she's like, well, why can't the woman wear a beautiful dress at home? And he goes, well, because she is not going out. She's at home. And, you know, that's a lot of stuff like that. And so then later on he's like, you know, looks in the camera and he's saying, these people are driving me nuts. I can't do anything. Then they decide they're not going to do it for a while. He comes back later and everyone working on the show is different now. So it's a fun little bit of kind of behind the scenes stuff with not only with just the television production stuff, the way television works, but kind of cultural differences between Americans and Russians. I would definitely give it a little recommendation. If you want a documentary, it's one that's not serious. It's not, you know, social justice stuff. It's just fun. And worth checking out.
Social justice is fun, Joe.
Oh, I love social justice. You know. Give me some social justice any day, but, you know, it's not everyone's cup of tea. All right, well, we got to take another break here, Kobe.
Oh, yeah, hang on. Where's the music?
Well, when we come back, we'll...
I can't find it.
When we come back, we'll talk about... we'll raise a glass. And then we'll talk about what Kobe is watching. It does not fill me up movies, but it's something.
It's something.
That's better than nothing.
I watched a bunch of movies this week.
See? And none of them were the ones that I gave him.
Nope, they were not.
Great high-quality stuff. So
Pee-wee.
No, he chose to
Pee-wee's Big Adventure is a great movie, sir. Come on.
Wow. All right, we're taking a break. Here
All
we
right.
go.
Here's the sad part of the show. As always, every week, Matthew, of course, likes to mention that those from the film industry who passed on. This week we get a double dose. It's sports and movies. I
don't care about sports?
Some of us do, Richard. Now, this is even a local connection. Bubba Smith, who was a football player for years, played for the Baltimore Colts, yes. Won a Super Bowl with them, played for the Houston Oilers and the Oakland Raiders. He later went on to a something of a movie career. He was a pitch man for a lot of different things, mm-hmm. and he most famously played Lieutenant Moses Hightower in the Police Academy movies.
Love those.
Love the Police Academy movies. He passed away this past week. Now, I did bring, in honor of Bubba Smith, I wanted to challenge either you, Richard, or Gina, who has not seen any of the Police Academy movies.
Wow.
If you know all of the subtitles of all of the Police Academy films, they all, you know, after the first one, that's, you know, Police Academy 2, colon,
oh, man.
And then there's a subtitle.
Why would you even add me to the competition on this?
Well, that's what I said.
No,
I didn't know at the
all.
Time that you weren't going to be like that and be all difficult and have not
okay,
seen
here
any
we go.
Of them.
How about Police Academy, bigger, longer, uncut? Was that one of them?
That was the animated version.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
I lose.
My personal favorite is Police Academy 4, Citizens on Patrol.
Patrol, that's
yeah.
right.
Where Lieutenant Hightower dresses up as some sort of weird voodoo guy to scare a couple of the recruits, and Tackleberry comes up out of this bag with a chainsaw and a hockey mask. And
that sounds like unconventional training.
It is. It is. It's wacky, too. And let me also mention that before you get too down on the Police Academy series, let me tell you some of the actors who have been
Joe DeFinti.
Yeah, really. Who says this is bad stuff? Sharon Stone was in a Police Academy film. David Spade was in Police Academy 4. Christopher Lee was in a Police Academy film.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who's
and
that?
Michael Winslow.
Okay.
Michael Winslow.
Has he made any other films?
He's the guy who did the thing with his voice.
Exactly.
You know, he could make the sound
That's
effect.
All he could do.
That's all. I think that's all he did was the
what
Police Academy.
Did he do? Beatboxing?
No, he could make, like, engine noises with
weird
his mouth.
Noises. He
yeah.
could make every noise oh. imaginable.
So
he's the sound effects guy.
That was his bit, was he, yeah. he would.
He was very good at it.
Yeah, yeah. He was very.
Well,
and
that would save you a lot of money on the set.
Yeah. And exactly. it was very, well, it was very funny and for the first 5 minutes of the first movie when he did it to confuse
By
people.
Police Academy 6, it was a little old.
Yeah, and there were seven of them.
Were there
believe.
Seven?
Yep. Jeez. The Mission to Moscow was the last one. Bubba
oh,
Smith
that's
was
right.
not in that one.
That's right.
And then there was Police Academy, the series, TV series.
He was in that.
Was he in that?
He was in that.
Okay. All right. That was 1997 and 1998. Police Academy, the animated series in 1988.
Ha! There was an animated series.
Yeah.
It was bigger, longer, and uncut.
Yeah. See that? Yeah. So I'm not going to bore you with reading all the other ones, except for...
You're not boring me, Joe.
We crossed that bridge a long time ago. The only thing I will mention is that one of the films has two colons in the title, and that really made me laugh. Police Academy 5, colon, assignment, colon, Miami Beach. So take that little bit of... Take that knowledge right there and you
really
do something with
Colin
it.
Powell.
Colin Powell does make film. A cameo as the shark that Tackleberry points the gun at. And there is a shark in that film, and Tackleberry does point a gun at it, and he says, "You will go back." What does he say? "Leave the swimmers alone now, Mister," or something like that. And the shark runs away in fear.
Believe it or not, we're actually very sad that Bubba Smith
yes.
has died.
Yes, we are. We are.
I wept for a good 2 days.
2 days.
Yes.
He was pivotal in my childhood. Police Academy is. Well, Police Academy 4 is one of my favorite Police Academy movies.
I mean, come on.
One of my favorite movies of all time.
It's where I first learned about Steve Guttenberg. I mean, come on.
Steve Guttenberg, man. Steve Guttenberg was in
was
the first four of these movies.
Yeah.
Man.
I
can't believe he didn't get the Oscar.
This and 3 Men and a Baby. Really? Come on. Who has a resume like that?
Yeah.
Steve Guttenberg.
And that's it. And that's it. That's what makes him a legend. And Short Circuit, man. Really.
I loved Short Circuit.
See?
Finally, somebody
Wait,
my height.
Wait, didn't I see that one, Dan?
With the robot?
I did see that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. See,
Number see five that. Alive!
Yeah. Go see Short Circuit if you've never seen it. Go rent it. Rent a couple Police Academy movies in honor of Bubba Smith. Why not? He deserves it.
Here comes Johnny.
You're singing that completely wrong.
Richard's been singing so much this hour.
All right, Kobe, what the heck are you watching?
Hey, hang on. And now it's time for What is Kobe Watching?
What is Kobe Watching?
All right.
There we go. So your stack of movies remains on my shelf.
There is a layer of dust on them now.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit.
Darn it, I could have watched RoboCop by now.
Really?
Oh, you wanted to watch
so
that.
So selfish,
yeah.
Kobe.
My kids are wanting to watch Creepshow, man. Really.
Wow.
But we did watch the Twilight Trilogy last weekend.
What's that?
In preparation of the new one.
Yes. Wait. You seriously called it a trilogy?
Yeah.
Well, until the fourth movie comes out.
Why bother calling it a trilogy when it's going to be like a five quintilogy?
He's trying to sell some DVDs here.
What would that make it? Like a quadriplegic or what?
That would be really awkward if it was anyone but you saying So how were the Twilight films?
Are you Team Edward or Team Jacob, Kobe?
Oh.
You have a lot
this,
right.
This might make
answer.
Or break us. Which team are you?
I don't.
You better be on
choices.
Team.
It's very obvious as the movies go on that, oh, hey, the one before this made some money. Oh, the two before this sold some DVDs.
Uh-huh.
Let's pour some more money into this one. CGI gets better and stuff.
And it says, wait, let me take my shirt off first.
Yeah.
And then the other one is like, dude, you just took your shirt off. What's up with that? I'm like, wow, look how cool and self-aware we are. He acknowledged that he took his shirt off.
I don't think you've answered.
No,
I know I haven't. I would say, I don't know. I don't get the, I would say Team Edward because I don't get the Jacob thing about, why can't the werewolf bite her and turn her into a werewolf? Or does not work like that.
It's hereditary.
Oh,
obviously.
If you watch True Blood, if you watch True Blood, you know that being a werepanther anyway is hereditary. You cannot transmit it by biting.
So you're saying I have to watch True Blood now to understand fully Twilight?
Except that Twilight goes off in its own direction completely. So Twilight knows no rules. or sense of logic.
Yeah.
Or
it seemed like vampires.
Entertainment value.
Like anything in the physical world. Like fly and run fast and
sparkle.
Yeah, yeah. Sparkle and
wow.
I was
predict
actually
the future.
Yes, and they can fly.
Yeah,
and play baseball.
They can.
Yeah.
I think the girl
it's
bites
American
her
tradition.
Lip probably as much as Tommy Wiseau laughs.
Well, she's a teenager full of angst or something.
Yeah. What they do? They bite their lips.
She's,
come on.
She's very sleepy and upset. About something.
She likes to walk in front of fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
was actually describing to the girl that lives next door to us. She's 10. She I was telling her about Fright Night, which is the remake is coming out in a couple weeks here.
Yeah.
I didn't get to see that.
And I said, oh, it's about a boy who his next door neighbor is a vampire. And I said, and he's a real vampire, not one of those fake sparkly ones. And she kind of gave me this dirty look. I said, that's right. They're fake and sparkly. They're not real.
Oh.
Ouch. Wow. Ouch.
That
you call
him feral.
That's
mind, a real
Taylor
vampire.
Lautner is a black belt and can kick you.
Yes.
Hey, I don't have anything against spontaneously bursting werewolves, you know.
I wish they would.
Yeah.
He's free.
Yeah. We don't need no full moon. We'll just turn whenever we want. Totally different.
So watch that, and then also watched The Right.
Yeah, Anthony Hopkins. Yeah.
Voluntarily?
Yeah. No, not really.
Here we get a good look at the relationship.
Guy believes in God, doesn't believe in God, bad stuff happens, suddenly he believes, I don't think anybody really cares.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exorcisms.
Yeah.
Which is looked like it would be scary, but it's more of a mind twister.
Yeah.
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 All right. We got like a minute. Plug your sites and stuff.
All right. Come to thefilmmap.com, read all our cool stuff. And then go to these other people's sites. Where do you guys have your
then
stuff?
Then with the rest of your minute, come to.
You should definitely go to hauntedflower.com, hauntedflowerreviews.com, and indiemojo.com because this weekend, Indiemojo is hosting after parties for Gen Con. If you go on Friday night, you get to go to a Gen Con Super Mario party. And
do you get in free if you come like dressed up?
You get it's only $5 charge or free with a costume.
Oh, look at that. I called it.
Yep. And
wow.
Saturday night you get to go to a Star Wars theme party, Empire's second annual galactic dance party and laser light show. they're on Meridian Street and all the info there's too much info to share right now. Just go to indiemojo.com and find it all.
Cool.
And then come on down and visit theindependentcritic.com and watch for me on Sandy on the Scene on Comcast On Demand.
And then come back to thefillmeup.com again.
Oh, and my last home bout of the season is next weekend. Woo! Come
fill
see Circle City.
Fillmeup.com. Thefillmeup.com.
You're listening to WFYI 90.1 HD2, The Point, Indianapolis. We go on.